Yeah, we're talking rugby now until the end of the show, pretty much. And the news earlier today that Connacht have confirmed the signing of former New Zealand fullback Mills Moliina. Over 100 caps for the All Blacks. I think it's actually bang on 100. An incredible player in his day. And here's a quick reminder of the 33-year-old at his very best.
Moliina and Brad Thorne, 35 years of age. And he offloads brilliantly to Moliina. Now Nonu, Conrad Smith, and here is Corey Jane. And Jane gets it in play.
Yeah, that was against Australia and what is now the Rugby Championship. But Donal Lennon, you're very welcome.
Hi, Hugh.
Well, listening back there, obviously, it's quite easy when you hear that Mills Moliina has signed for Connacht to think back to his heydays and all the brilliance for the All Blacks and for the Blues as well. But, you know, he's past those days now. He's 33 years of age. Is it a good signing for Connacht?
Well, I think time will tell. It seems as if he's coming in on a sort of a mixed role. There's a playing role, but there's also a mentoring role for some of the younger players. And I presume by extension, he'll be involved in the coaching. He has a relationship with kind of coach Pat Lamb, dating back to their days in the Auckland Blues. And, you know, it would appear that that relationship was instrumental in him coming to Connacht. But as you said, he was an outstanding player. He'll be the first All Black to play for Connacht. But he has been in Japan for the last 2 years, signed for the Chiefs this year, but I think he's only played four times in Super 15. He has an elbow issue at the moment, so he's not actually fit to play. But, you know, it's a fantastic signing for Connacht in from a PR point of view, from, you know, a bit of excitement out in the West. And, you know, Connacht, they seem to be doing a lot of attracting a lot of good players because, you know, Bundy Aki, who's also coming from the Chiefs, is another very interesting addition to their squad. But, you know, there's so many Kiwis there now. You really, you have to ask the question, you know, is there a definition of a role for Connacht? You're back again to, they don't get the funding of the other provinces yet. They seem to have done extremely well in attracting those two players because I know both Munster and Leinster were looking at Aki, and the valuation that came up was they felt he was too expensive. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how all this works out.
In terms of the developmental role, as you mentioned, one of the main reasons, I think, why Moliina was brought in, I remember listening to Brian O'Driscoll speak about the impact that Brad Thorne had on Leinster in the dressing room when he came in, and even how the most experienced guys like O'Driscoll, Leo Cullen, and learned a huge amount from Thorne during his time. So I assume Moliina will offer something similar with the Connacht young players.
Yeah, I would imagine so. And to be fair, I have no issue whatsoever with those quality overseas players coming in who, as long as they add value to the overall setup, and that's exactly what's happening here. You know, they bring what they've learned in the Southern Hemisphere, their work ethic. And, you know, when you have somebody like Brian O'Driscoll, even at the stage of his career, I mean, he was 29 or 30 when Brad Thorne came and, you know, openly admitted that he learned a huge amount from him. So there's no question that those players do add value. And if they end up leaving a legacy with the younger players, then I think that they're more than worth their signing on fee. I mean, the bottom line is Aki will play in the centre with Robbie Henshaw. It's not clear what role or what position even Moliina will be involved in. He has played a lot of his rugby at fullback, and Gavin Duffy, of course, has retired now. And, you know, if Henshaw is playing in the centre, then there may be a vacancy there. But it's very exciting for Connacht. You know, they flatter to deceive at times during the season, but you go back to their victory over Toulouse. There's a huge amount of quality there. There's a lot of very good young, I think there's something like 13 or 14 homegrown players now in the Connacht setup. So, you know, there is, you know, while we're talking about the overseas players, I think you have to acknowledge the work that has been done in bringing through their own players. And it's a question of getting the balance right and ensuring that the players they bring in add value to their younger players, and that those younger players aren't left sort of sitting on the bench because of lack of opportunities because of those from overseas.
And it's funny, thinking back even to this season, Donal, I remember when Connacht went to Toulouse and won, and they had to play then the following weekend in Galway, and they looked absolutely physically exhausted because the same bunch of players, the same core group of players, had been playing week in, week out, whether it was the Heineken Cup or the Pro 12. There was no doubt then that Connacht needed to strengthen their squad if they wanted to progress, and they have done that. The criticism being, though, that, you know, the foreign players are going to keep out the Irish players from the team, but there has to be a balance there.
Yeah, there has to be. But, you know, I mean, it looks like Connacht, they won't be involved in the new European Challenge Cup next year because of the new qualification process. There'll be three Irish sides in that. But, you see, for me, there is no clear... Either Connacht are treated at the same level as the other Irish provinces in terms of their funding from the IRFU, or they're designated as a development province where a lot of the younger players from other provinces who are not getting game time are sent there working with their more experienced players and offered a chance to develop. Now, I think that is something that David Nusafora, the new high performance director, it's almost as if the whole thing has been put in abeyance until he comes in. But that is one of the issues that he has to address immediately. Because there's no doubt there is a lot of good quality younger players in Ireland who are stagnating in other provinces. Like Connacht, some of the signings I wouldn't do, they brought in, Tim McCartney, a hooker from the Auckland Blues, when in my mind there's a load of very good young hookers around the Irish setup. Now, Lynette, who was captain of the Irish under-20s a few years ago, he's going off
to England,
to play in England with Worcester, who are now relegated. Niall Scannell is another young player in Munster who started number four in the pecking order. He was the Irish under-20 captain 2 years ago. So, you know, I have no issue with the Bundiakis and the Mills Mulliaina and players of that quality. But if we're bringing in foreign players who are no better than what we have here and they're taking up positions, then that is another problem altogether.
There's also a question about how Connacht are managing to finance all of these players, who I'm sure, Donal, cost quite a few quid. And, you know, maybe you can explain a little bit more. But the IRFU only offered a certain amount towards their salary because they're not Irish-based. Whereas we had a situation like last summer, Johnny Sexton, who Leinster wanted to top up his salary to keep him in Ireland, but yet he went to France because they weren't allowed to do it.
Yeah, well, that's what the system is crazy. I mean, the bottom line is for overseas players, the IRFU pay a minimum amount. I think it's 90,000 now per contract. It was 140,000. That's been reduced to 90,000. So therefore, I mean, your high quality players, the BJ Bothas, the Zane Kirshners, Johan Mullers, let's say for argument's sake they're on 300,000 a year. Well, then the provinces has to stump up 210,000 towards their salary. Yes, you had a scenario where Johnny Sexton left the country because he wasn't getting the same money at the time as Jamie Heaslip. Apparently there was a differential of 50,000 and Leinster weren't allowed to make up the difference from their own resources. And Leinster have a lot of resources. They, you know, they have the access to the Aviva for three games a year, and their RDS crowd, you know, they've the most season ticket holders in Ireland. Sponsorship wise, they're very well looked after, so they are able to generate a lot of independent money. Now, I see no issue with that money being channeled into keeping players like Johnny Sexton in Ireland, particularly when you take in mind that we could be paying anything, that the provinces could be paying anything from their own resources up to 300 or more for an overseas player.
Just to move it on, if we can, with the Pro 12 games last weekend, Leinster and Ulster producing a really interesting, entertaining game as well. Plenty of incidents involved there. Munster, very convincing winners away. And it looks like now the makeup of the group is obviously going to be Leinster, Ulster in the semi-final, and then Munster against Glasgow. Three Irish provinces in the top four, Donal, has to be considered a pretty good work over the last season or so.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, all the Irish provinces, they, regardless of who they play, I mean, Munster went to Edinburgh, made 11 changes from the game against Toulon, and scored 7 tries. You had Leinster rotated fully against Treviso a couple of weeks ago and put on 62 points and 9 tries. Now, I'm not quite sure those type of results are good for the league itself, but there's no question the Irish provinces are that little bit ahead of the rest. I think the Rabo is suffering, to be honest with you. We're seeing the lack of quality from Wales. And even, you know, the bit of drama for the last two rounds was taken when Zebra turned around and beat the Ospreys. All that meant is certainly Munster, Leinster and Glasgow were all but guaranteed their places. And Ulster were left needing 1 point from their last two games, which they got against Ulster last week. So I'm not quite sure what it does for the last round next week, because I think it's practically written in stone at the moment that it'll be Munster away to Glasgow and Ulster coming down the road to play Leinster in the RDS.
Just as a general view on the Pro 12, it doesn't look like, with the players that the Irish provinces are keeping, the players that are leaving Wales still, and that the guys that are bringing to replace them, and the rugby in Scotland and in Italy, that it doesn't look like this is going to change, Donald, for any time soon, that the Irish provinces are going to remain as dominant as they have been in the Pro 12.
No, it doesn't, and I think that's a worry. I mean, you know, well, it sounds great, and, you know, it is fabulous that we will have three teams in the top four, but, I mean, the quality of opposition and the level of competition for those places is failing rapidly. I thought Edinburgh were a joke last week, I have to say. Mm-hmm. You know, people say you've nothing to play for. They're professional players. There's contracts up at the end of the year. So, I mean, I don't buy into that at all. As I said, the Italian sides once again are bottom and one from bottom in the league. The Welsh challenge has just fallen away, and as you know, we've been in the Scarlets, we've been at the Blues, we've been at the Ospreys, where the crowds in the stadiums in Wales are just abysmal. You're looking at 3,000-4,000 people at most, and it's difficult to blame, you know, the Welsh public when you consider all the players they've lost up to now. And at the end of this season, like the Ospreys again, they're losing Ryan Jones, Ian Evans, Richard Hibbard. You know, Lee Halfpenny is going off to Toulon. Jonathan Davis is going to Clermont Auvergne. It can't be good for the game in Wales. You need, young people need, you know, the one thing we have here is you can turn up to the RDS, Ravenhill, the sports ground, and you can see your heroes in the flesh. You can touch Brian O'Driscoll anytime you go to the RDS, and you know that is a hugely important in terms of creating a desire to want to represent your province.
Okay.
But unfortunately, that doesn't seem to be there in Wales. There is a far bigger following for the old traditional clubs in the Principality League, which is underneath the rabble. For old clubs like Pontypridd and Ebbw Vale, Aberavon, Maesteg, all these clubs are attracting more support. So it's
worrying times,
Ed. Huge challenge.
Listen, we have to leave it there. I'm sorry, Don, we've run out of time, but it's something we might come back to again, because there's plenty of meat left in that in the future, particularly for the Irish provinces as we go forward into a new European competition. And my thanks to Andrew Connor.